I measured out my days. Life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world to learn how heaven could begin. Just who and where I began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be. Wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race. Were it not for grace. So here is all my praise, expressed with all my heart. Honor to the friend who took my place and ran the course I couldn't even start. And when he saw in full just how much his love would cost, he still went the final mile between me and heaven, so I would not be lost. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be. Wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. Were it not for amazing grace.
Amen. That was a blessing. That was a great song for us this evening. About 8 minutes before the service started, Pastor told me that he was feeling nauseated, wasn't feeling very well. So please pray for him. Pastor needs to be healthy on Saturday, right, Cherith? So he needs to be 100%. This is a very important week. I told Cherith today, this morning, I said, Cherith, for this week, the whole universe revolves around you. This is your 1 week as you're getting ready for the wedding. But please pray for Pastor that he gets feeling better, and I think hopefully it's just, hopefully it won't last very long. I don't know about you, but I'm excited that it's getting warmer outside and that the spring is here, and that was encouraging. On Monday of this week, I spent a lot of time outside. Monday's my day off, so Monday I was out in the yard raking and working, and 70 degrees. It was just wonderful, and I am very thankful that spring is here. And I've been getting kind of cabin fever, amen, this winter. But I had a revelation on Monday. I was in the yard all day, and at 4:30, I had a great revelation. It dawned on me that it was absolute perfect weather for golf. 70 degrees, no wind, and I texted Brother Ryan Harrison. 5 o'clock, we met up, did some golfing, and I did something that I had a new experience on Monday. He brought his he brought Owen with him. So Owen's, 5 years old, and so Owen was hitting the gas pedal, and Ryan was steering. So we would tell Owen, punch it, and then he would hit the gas pedal. And we were on a hole, and all of a sudden, we lost sight of Owen. And we're like, oh, this isn't good. There's a lake, and there's some trees, and we're like, oh, man. We're looking around, like, where'd Owen go? So we're looking, and finally, we find him in a sand trap, making a sand angel. And I'd never seen that before on the golf course. So that was a blessing. We had a good time. But I'm thankful that the weather is getting warmer. Please open your Bibles to Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. And in case Pastor listens to the recording later on, I want to thank Pastor for the opportunity to fill in for him. And I am thankful that I'm a member at Faith Baptist Church. I am thankful. This is my home church. This church has been a great blessing to my family, and it is a blessing being a member here. And I'm encouraged when I come to church, even before the preaching, just shaking hands, singing, being around our church family. It's a blessing. I was thinking about this with our teenagers, juniors and seniors going on the junior-senior trip. I was telling them in chapel on Tuesday that when I was in Christian school, I thought that every Christian school did a junior and senior trip. I thought that every Christian school went to New York and Washington, D.C., and our Christian school did that for us. And I went to college, and I started talking to people, and I said, did you go on a senior trip? They said, oh, yeah, we went to... We went to Springfield for 6 hours, or we did this, or we did that. And I was thinking about this week. Our young people have some great opportunities at this church. And I'm just thankful that our church does so much for the young people. It's definitely not what our young people get to experience is not the norm. And there's just some great opportunities. Judges 14, I did have a Bible study ready to go. And as I was praying for a couple of minutes before the service, I didn't have any peace about that Bible study. So I'm going to do this message out of Judges 14. If we could look at verses 1, 2, and 3, Judges chapter 14. Right here the Bible says, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, 'I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife.' Then his father and mother said unto him, 'Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?' And Samson said unto his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well.'" For a few moments tonight, I want to preach on this subject, the me-centered life or the Jesus-centered life. The me-centered life or the Jesus-centered life. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer, and we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here on a Wednesday night. Lord, thank you for our church family. Thank you for our pastor. I pray, God, you'd help Pastor to get feeling better, give him a full recovery, give him a good night's rest tonight. And Lord, this Saturday is a big day for Pastor and Cherith and his family, and I pray, God, you'd help him to be well. And Lord, right now, I pray for grace to preach the message. Lord, this evening, Lord, we need your help. We pray that you'd help us now, encourage us, strengthen our hearts in the Word of God. I pray you'd speak to hearts tonight, God, and give us grace. And Heavenly Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. The me-centered life or the Jesus-centered life. In these verses in Judges chapter 14, we find Samson having a crisis. I like to call this crisis the me crisis. Samson here in these verses is making a lot of bad decisions. We see in verse number 1 that Samson's address is not right. Samson is going and hanging around with some people that his parents did not want him to hang around with. Samson is going and spending time with folks that with the heathen, and he wasn't supposed to be there. And Samson is a believer, and yet he's over here with the heathen. He's not trying to bring them to Jesus. He's chasing after a young lady that he's not supposed to be chasing after, and his address wasn't right. We see that his appetite was not right. He knew that God wanted him to marry a Hebrew, someone that had faith in God. And yet here he is. He's in the wrong place. He's with the wrong people. He's got the wrong appetite. And he continues to go after this girl, even with his parents protesting. And we find that Samson's attitude was not right. Man, here he is in verse number 3. And his parents come to him and remind him, hey, Samson, you remember, this isn't right. This is not how it's supposed to go. And all of a sudden, Samson has a bad attitude and looks at his parents and he starts to tell them what's going on. And you know, I just want to remind us tonight, I want to remind all the young people that God puts authority in our life so that authority can tell us what's going on. God doesn't put authority in our life so that we can tell the authority what's going on. And I'm going to say, young people, hey, I don't know what your spirit's like. I don't know what your attitude's like. I don't know all the home situation. But hey, if this week you've been telling your authority what's going on, that is not the plan that God has for you. God puts authority in our life to lead us, not for us to lead them. Man, Samson, he's got an attitude problem. He's in the wrong place. His address is wrong. His appetite is wrong. And his attitude is wrong. And it's going to cost him in the long run. And the crisis that Samson is in is a me crisis. Because in the mind of Samson, everything has become about Samson. Man, it's all about him. And I want to tell us tonight, folks, this is something that Alan is guilty of. This is something that every believer is guilty of at some point in our Christian life. Everything that we see in our life, we see how it relates to us. But I want to remind you tonight that in the life of Samson, it never was about Samson. Hey, in Samson's generation, as Samson was going through his life, it never was about Samson. It never will be about Samson. In Samson's life, it was about God. It was supposed to be about what God wanted to have done. It was not about him. I want to remind you tonight, church, and I'm reminding myself that our life is not about us. Our life is about God and about Jesus and about what God wants to accomplish in us and through us. It's not about us. Oh, but Samson, man, he got distracted. And everything, he viewed everything as it related to himself. And I'm guilty of that. And friends, I want to tell us tonight that we cannot view everything in life, every situation in life, and everything that goes around us. How does this relate to me? Oh, we're guilty of that. How does this make me feel? Is this something that I want to do? Am I being told to do something that I don't want to do? Is this something that I want to get involved in? Is this my thing? Hey, is this good for me? Boy, all the man, it's so easy to go throughout our day and to go throughout our week and to go throughout life completely centered on ourselves. But in Samson's life, it wasn't about Samson. And in our life, honestly, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about God. It's about the Word of God. It's about the work of God. It's about what God wants to do through us. I want to say tonight, very simply, that the center of our life, the very center of our life, just a reminder, needs to be, what does Jesus want in my life? The heartbeat of a Christian, the desire of a Christian, the pulse of a Christian, at our very center, at our very core, in our heart, is what does Jesus want for my life? That's the center. The substance of our life needs to be what is pleasing to Jesus. The things that we say, the things that we do, the things that fill up our day. We've got a center, and then we've got substance. We've got our daily activities, our words, our attitudes, our actions. And I want to say tonight, friend, that the substance of our life needs to be, do these things please the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the center of our life. He's the substance of our life. And I want to say tonight that He is also the circumference of our life. When it's all said and done, and we stand before God, and our life is over, and we breathe our last breath, and there's nothing left for us to do, hey, the circumference, what did our life matter? That will be determined by whether or not we live for Jesus. He's the center. He's the substance. He's the circumference. Jesus is everything in the life of the believer. Our life is not about us. If Alan decides to live a me-centered life, then I'm the loser for it. If I go to church thinking that church is about me, I just made a big mistake. Church is not about me. Church is not about, does this church please me? Is this church good for me? Hey, church is about God. My life is not about me. Is this good for me? Hey, our life is about pleasing God. And Samson, he lost in life because he was caught up in the me-centered life. Very simply tonight, how do I know if I'm living a me-centered life? How do I know if I'm living a me-centered life? Number one, the center of my decisions is me. the center of my decisions is me. Look at verse number 2 of Judges 14. Now I'm going to pause, and I want you to read the personal pronouns that pertain to Samson. And while you're saying these, I want you to try to count them, all right? Multitask, all right? Judges 14 and verse number 2. And when I pause, you can fill in the blank. And came up and told father and mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for to wife. Then father and mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto father, get her for she pleaseth well. In those two verses, that's only two verses in the Bible. And it's amazing that in two verses, there are 13 personal pronouns referring to Samson. That blew me away when I was reading this chapter this week. 13. That's way too many. Man, there was way too much of this going on as Samson was going through. Man, hey, get her for me. This is for me. I want her. This is, hey, Dad. Hey, Mom, you do this. This is about me. And oh my goodness, sometimes I wonder, as I go through my day, how much of my day is consumed thinking about myself or about things relating to me? Hey, what Samson was having was a me crisis. Hey, Samson, wake up. It's not about you, Samson. This situation is not about you. The center of his decisions had become himself. Man, well, this was an unacceptable attitude for Samson to have. Samson did not need to make all these plans. And friends, I just want to remind us tonight that if we think too much about ourselves in the Christian life, it is an unacceptable attitude for us to have. Man, we just got to be reminded, it's not about us. It is not about us. If the center of my decisions is me, then I am headed for disaster. Now, we've got to make sure, hey, there's so many different areas of the Christian life where people are getting caught up in making themselves the center of their decisions. Just one area, if you think about faith, or if you think about church attendance, picking a church. So many people in America today have decided, I'm going to pick a church that pleases me. I'm going to pick a church that's good for me. I'm going to go to church that's going to please me. And I want to say this tonight. If you make a decision to go and look for a church that pleases your flesh and satisfies your flesh, you're going to find it. Because they're all over America. Man, we got people today that say, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to church on Saturday night at 6 o'clock. And we're going to have Christian rock for 30 minutes. And we're just going to jam out. And then we're going to have a sermonette. And everyone's going to feel good. And then on Sunday, we're going to go golfing. It's not even going to be the Lord saying, hey, I want to remind you that church is not supposed to please the flesh. Church is supposed to please God. I'm thankful that we go to Faith Baptist Church and the Word of God is open every Sunday. And our pastor says, thus saith the Lord. And the choir sings. And there's an altar call. And there's conviction. And there's the Word of God. And oh my goodness, we got to be thankful that we have a real church. Man, so many people today, oh, I'm going to go to this church, and it's going to feel good, and we're going to rock and roll. Hey, I saw some pictures. I saw a video they made about the churches from the largest, 10 largest churches in America from the 50s and what they are today. And there's one church that's still standing, but I'm blown away at some of the churches today of what we call church. Hey, let me just remind you tonight, God has given you a good church. God has given you a good pastor. God has given you a church that still preaches the truth. On Sunday, the message that we heard, our pastor is not checking the wind before he preaches. Man, he's not checking the wind. He's not checking the currents. He's not saying, oh, I wonder if this is going to be popular. I wonder if this is going to offend somebody. If the Holy Ghost of God presses something on his heart, the preacher opens the Bible and says, this is what God told me to say. Man, we better thank God for that. The church isn't about us. It's about God. Man, we come to church to please God. The way we do our song service at Faith Baptist Church, pastor does it in a way that will please God. The way he opens the Bible and preaches and does Bible study, it's about pleasing God. It's about God being magnified in our life. Thank God for a real church. Man, but in so many areas, if we make it about ourselves, we get into big trouble. Man, is this good for me? Is this what I want? Well, we got to be careful. The center of our decisions cannot be ourselves. The center of our decisions got to go back to God. What do you want? is this what you want? I want to say this. We need to realize that God has a plan. Turn back one chapter to Judges 13 and verse number 5. Judges 13 and verse number 5. Now, it's amazing, in this chapter, an angel of the Lord comes and visits Samson's parents. And it's really neat because God reveals that God had a plan for Samson's life before Samson was ever born. Before Samson was ever on the scene, God had the details worked out. God knew what He wanted Samson to do. God knew what his life work would be. God knew the details of him living for the Lord. And in Judges 13, verse number 5, here the angel talks to his parents and says here, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb." Now look at this. Look at the last phrase here. "And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." That is amazing to me, that Samson has not even been born. Samson is not even on the scene. Samson has never messed one diaper yet, okay? He doesn't know how to walk yet. He's never gotten in trouble yet. He's never gotten his first spanking. He doesn't know how to read and write. He's not even born yet, and God knows what Samson is supposed to do with his life. And that's encouraging to me, because that tells me that God has a plan. He has a plan for every believer. He has something for every believer to do. He has a perfect will for the life of every single individual. And praise the Lord, God has a plan. He's got a plan. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." It's amazing to me that for the life of the believer, when our life comes to an end, it's an expected end. God knows how our story is going to end before our story even began. And I want to say to you young people tonight, and I want to say to you, God has a plan for your life. God knows exactly what He wants you to do. God knows exactly where He's going to put you someday. God knows what His will is for your life, and we need to be a part of what God wants, and we need to live our life for God, because God has a perfect plan. Hey, God knows what's in store for me. He knows what's in store for you. Jeremiah 1:4, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Young people, I want to say tonight that God knew who your parents were going to be, and God knew where you were going to be born. And God knew the church that you were going to attend. God knew the day that you were going to get saved. God knew, what subjects you would be good at in school and the areas you would struggle in. God knew who your friends would be. God knew all about it. And when you, if you're here today, if you're in grade school, if you're in junior high, if you're in high school, if you're college age, if there's some uncertainty about your future, if you're thinking, man, how are things going to work out? How is things going to work out? Before Samson was born, God had a plan. And God has a plan tonight. God has a plan for you. What we need to do is we need to be a part of God's plan. We need to do what's right. We need to do the revealed will of God. We need to be living for the Lord and allow Him to reveal His plan. You know why Samson got really messed up? He was blowing it in areas that he knew about. And he knew he wasn't supposed to be running with the heathen. He knew he wasn't supposed to be chasing a lost girl. He knew he wasn't supposed to be bossing around his parents. This stuff was in the Word of God, and he was blowing it, and then he missed out on what God could have had for him. And I just want to say tonight, we need to be just on board with what God wants, and God will reveal His will. Before anything ever happened in our life, God knew all about it. God knows. Hey, young man, God knows what you're going to do someday for a living. God knows. God knows the vocation. God knows, some of you grow up and have a vocation to work, a job, and be a part of a church, and be a teacher, a layman, a helper to the pastor. If that's God's calling, that's an awesome thing for your life. God knows where you're going to work. God knows what you're going to do. Young man, if God's going to call you into the ministry, God knows all about it. Whatever God has for you, young lady, God knows who you're going to marry someday. God knows He's going to bring the man that He wants into your life. Whatever it is, are you worried about your future? God's not worried about it. God has a plan. He had a plan for Samson, but Samson got distracted. And friends, I want to tell us all tonight, it's not about us. It's about God's plan for our life. How do I live a Jesus-centered life? Realize that God has a plan. God has a plan for all of us. And I want to say tonight, God's plan is important for every individual. If you're here tonight and you serve the Lord and you come to church and, man, you give and you work a job and you support your family and you're, whatever that, if that is God's will for your life, that is so important. That is so valuable. Hey, whatever God's will is, that is incredible. That's good. That's what God wants. Whatever God's will is, it's a good plan. But hey, Samson got distracted. He got pulled away. How do I know if I'm living? How do I live a Jesus-centered life? Realize that God has a plan, and do what's right. Hey, also, how do I know if I'm living the me-centered life? The center of my decisions is me. And the second thing is that God sends warnings into our life. When Samson was living a me-centered life, God began to send warnings his way. Authorities began to warn Samson. We read Judges 14 and verse number 3. And his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all thy people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Now, young people, I want to say tonight that if you've been in contention with your parents recently, and I don't know, I'm not in your home, I don't know all your situations, but hey, if you've been fighting your parents on something, can I tell you tonight, based upon the Word of God, you need to listen to your dad, you need to listen to your mom, and you need to have a submissive spirit with them. Because God sent some warnings into Samson's life. Young people, I just want to remind you tonight, the two people that love you more than any people in the world is your dad and your mom. And if they come to you and if they say, hey, what's going on with the attitude? Hey, if they come to you and they say, hey, what's going on with how come you're not talking lately? Or what? Hey, oh, what's going on? Well, hey, what about this music? Or what about this or that? Or what about this friendship? Or what about this on your phone? Or what? Hey, whatever the situation is, young person, if your parents are talking to you about something, there's nobody in your life that loves you more than your dad and your mom. And I want to tell you tonight, listen to your dad, listen to your mom, because they're trying to help you live for God. The whole reason that God puts authorities in our life is because authorities help us to live for God. And hey, you know what, Samson? His parents were not trying to keep him from fun. Hey, teenager, if you're here tonight and you say, man, brother, I don't feel like my parents are trying to keep me from fun. They don't want to let me do anything. There's rules. There's all this stuff. Hey, your parents love you, and they want God's blessing. I don't think Samson's parents were trying to make his life miserable. They were trying to keep misery from his life. Because in the next chapter, Samson's life gets pretty miserable because he didn't listen to his parents. And young people, I just want to remind you tonight, your parents love you. They're trying to keep misery out of your life. And your other authorities too. Your pastor, your youth pastor, your Christian school teacher, your Sunday school teacher. Hey, these authorities are in our life to help us. And by the way, church member, we have a pastor as our authority to help us. And by the way, thank God that our pastor is a shepherd and he will correct us and help us. I want to say this tonight without hesitation. This is probably a year and a half ago. I got a text message from pastor. And it was not one of those, hey, Alan, you're doing such a great job in the church, man. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm so glad you're in my church and this and that. It was a text message that got my attention. And I'm not proud of this, okay? I'm kind of embarrassed by this. I saw that text message. I thought, you know what? I better call the preacher because he's warning me about something in my life. Now, you know what our instant reaction is when the pastor sends us a text message and he's talking to us about something we need to deal with? You know what our heart does? Come on, hey, you know what this old simple heart did when I saw that text message at first? But then you know what? I said, thank God I have a pastor. Thank God that when I'm starting to, I'm drifting a little bit in this area, I'll call the preacher about it and say, preacher, I need to get this straightened out. Thank you for texting me. You know, our pride doesn't like that. I wasn't excited about that. I wasn't like, oh, praise God, I got corrected by the pastor. What a blessing. No. Hey, that hurts our pride. But folks, you know how many preachers in America today never do that? We have a pastor at our church. He is a leader. Man, thank God for that. Hey, when I got that text, and if you ask me after church what it was about, I'm not going to tell you, so don't even ask me. Amen? None of your business. Hallelujah. All right. But hey, you know what? I was starting to drip. Oh, my God. Gotta get back in line. But I have an authority that will help me live for God. So I better respond. That, by the way, that's the program. As a church member, when the preacher says, hey, Alan, you're getting off course. Me, as a church member, yes, sir, I'm glad I got a pastor. Let me get back on course. It's not rocket science. But I need that in my Christian life. I need a preacher that will hold me accountable. And we all need that. But hey, God will get our attention. Maybe the preacher, sends us a text message. Maybe a friend in the church, a close friend, says, "Hey, man, what's going on? What about this? Thank God for a church family. Hey, anybody in the church ever say something to you about something in your life? That's a blessing. Hey, man, we need to respond to that. Hey, teenagers, your authorities are trying to help you go in the right direction. They're trying to help you end up in God's will. Hey, authorities, do that for us." God brought some things into Samson's life to get his attention. When our attention is on me, God will help our attention get back on him. Okay, now look at this. Look at verse number 5. Judges 14, verse number 5. "Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him." Now, let me say this tonight. Samson's on the way to do something stupid. He's chasing a lost girl. He's doing something that he's not supposed to do. He knows what the Bible says. He knows what his leaders have said. His parents just confirmed him about this, right? And he's completely focused on himself. He's on the road and a lion comes out and attacks him. Now, what I want to say to Samson is, hello, a lion is trying to eat you. God is trying to get your attention, Samson. And you know what? You know why God is great and has great, he's gracious to us? When we're starting to drift in our life, God gets our attention. Hey, you may be here tonight and God's been trying to get your attention. And by the way, on the way to church, he's not going to send a lion on Highway 57 or anything like that, okay? There's not going to be a man-eating lion on your block. But God sends things into our life to get our attention. But you know what's so sad? God in his grace sends a lion in Samson's path. And Samson says, oh, my parents said no. And oh, hey, my spiritual leaders, they're against this. And here's a lion in the path. I'm just going to keep going the same direction. Hey, Samson, you should have turned around. Hey, Samson, you should have had a wake-up call from God that he was trying to get your attention. Hey, if you've been here tonight and the Holy Spirit's been trying to get your attention, turn around. Fix whatever it is in your life. Man, Samson blew it. Man, God was so good to Samson. He had warnings. He had things come to warn him. There was a lion in the path. But Samson kept going the wrong direction. And when God warns us, we need to respond to the warnings of God. We need to have a tender heart. Because he warns us because we get off track. And he sends things. So, hey, if God's been trying to get your attention about something, don't ignore the warning. Be sensitive to God's warnings. Samson ignored his authorities, and he ignored God's warnings. He thought that his life was about himself, and his life did not turn out how God wanted it to turn out. You know, Samson could have been a judge that did not get his eyes gouged out. Samson could have been a judge that didn't have his heart broken by those adulterous women. Samson could have been a judge that had a peaceful and blessed life. But he did it his way instead of God's way. And I'm preaching to Alan tonight. We need to do it God's way. We need to do what God wants. And that's where the peace is and that's where the blessing is. We need to make Jesus the center of our life. And I'll close with this. Once again, the heartbeat of our Christian life needs to be, what does Jesus want today in my life? We need to walk with God. We need to live for the Lord. We need to say, Jesus, I want to live for you. And as we go through our day, as he is the center of our life, as we walk with him, the substance of our life, the things that fill up our day, the words that we say, the places we go, and the things that we do, they need to be a reflection of Christ in us. And the circumference of our life, when life is over, what did my life matter? Friend, that is determined by whether or not we lived for Jesus. And when we get me-centered, and it happens to me, it happens to all of us, we got to turn back to Christ and focus on him. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful blessing to live a Christian life. The world is spinning right now, out of control. The world right now and government right now. I read in the Chicago Tribune on Sunday that the new mayor of Chicago is going to put people in place that are pledging allegiance to the new world order. You can read it. It's the front page article of the Chicago Tribune, pledging allegiance to the new world order. Things are kind of bizarre in America, but thank God that we can live for God. Thank God in the midst of great confusion, we can live for the Lord. Man, what a blessing. And when we get off track, let's get on track. And instead of a me-centered life, let's try to live a Jesus-centered life. Let's have heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you say, Brother Alan, I know I'm saved. I've asked Christ in my heart. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Please raise your hand if you know that you're saved. You got that settled? You got that nailed down? Amen. You can put your hands down. Is there anyone here on a Wednesday night? Say, Lord, I'm not sure I'm saved. I've never asked Jesus in my heart. I'm not sure. Anyone like that tonight? Maybe at some point in the message, the Lord spoke to your heart. Maybe it was about something we didn't even cover in the verses. But if you say, Brother Allen, at some point, God spoke to my heart. God spoke to me. Raise your hand. That's you. If God spoke to your heart. See those hands? In just a moment, the piano's going to play. If you need to do business with the Lord, please do that tonight. Let's all stand to our feet, and the piano's going to go ahead and play.